Right, now recording. So, Lewis, obvious questions here, really. Why Pink Floyd?
Well, for me personally, they're one of the most sort of iconic bands of the 20th century. They're just as popular now, I think, as they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. So it's a bit of a privilege to be able to play the music in front of such appreciative audiences.
Great. So what is it about Pink Floyd that appeals to you?
I don't know really. So obviously the music, the kind of just, I suppose they were the kind of pioneers of sort of creating new music using the sort of technology and the sounds and the equipment that was available to them at the time. And I don't think anybody else has managed to do it in the same way, either at the same time or since. You know, I don't think they were perhaps the best musicians in the world or the best instrumentalists in the world, but they were able to kind of use what they had and the sounds and the synths and different things to just create something completely different that nobody else has done.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility to the legacy of Pink Floyd in the way that you perform it and interpret it?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, anyone who's sort of interested in Pink Floyd and tribute bands know that there's a lot of Pink Floyd tribute bands out there. But one thing that we do, which I don't think anybody else does, is really try and stay true to the original recordings. You know, we try and recreate the original recordings as closely as possible. We're obviously using modern digital techniques to do that. We couldn't, you know, it wouldn't be possible to sort of tour around all the instruments that they had, but you know, there's so many great sort of modern keyboards and guitars and things like that, so we are able to kind of get it as close to the original records as possible, but also it's live as well, so it's got a bit of our own personality in there as well to make it as entertaining for the live audiences as well.
What kind of challenges do you face in performing the music of somebody else, another artist, where you're trying to stay true to it, as opposed to your own original music?
Well, I suppose, I do the original stuff as well, and I suppose when you're performing your own stuff, most people haven't got an idea how it should sound. But when, you know, when we're playing to 500 people in a theatre, the majority of them will know every single lyric. And if a guitar solo is slightly wrong or if something sounds slightly wrong, they will know that. So we do have to be, you know, that is a challenge to sort of try and get it as close as possible, because otherwise people will notice.
Do you think that adds extra pressure because of the fact that it may be okay for an original band to have a slightly off day, but for a tribute band, the crowd do expect it to be as they've heard on the record or in concert in the past? Do you think there's extra pressure, therefore, on you doing the tribute thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't feel the pressure anymore. I mean, when I first joined the band 13 years ago, there was a huge amount of pressure, because probably the audience knew the material better than I did. But, you know, as the years have gone on, we've covered so much of Pink Floyd's material that we all know it pretty well. You know, there isn't, you know, we don't feel at all pressured by that, really. In fact, it kind of makes it more interesting, because, you know, we know that we need to perform it the same every night. And so, you know, we've got the discipline to be able to make sure that happens.
Okay. Which albums or periods of Pink Floyd do you and the band like the most and like to perform the most? And why?
I think, for me personally, I'm more into sort of the earlier stuff up to about sort of 1975, I guess. But as far as performing stuff, I mean, we really enjoy performing all of it. I mean, we do quite a few tracks on The Division Bell, which, as an album, as a Pink Floyd fan listening to it, it's not my favourite album. But as far as performing it live, it does actually work really well. So we do actually really enjoy performing that stuff, even though I perhaps wouldn't choose to listen to it. I think the majority of the band probably have a similar view to me. They're more of a fan of the sort of 70s stuff rather than the 80s and 90s.
I haven't seen you perform live yet. I'm really looking forward to it. Do you try to look like each of the members of Pink Floyd?
Definitely not. I mean, I think, you know, there's no way I could have been doing it as long as we have been if we had to worry about wigs and makeup and flowery shirts and things like that. I think, if you go and see a Rolling Stones tribute band, you expect to see a Mick Jagger prancing around, or if you go and see a Led Zeppelin tribute band, you want to see Page and Plant performing as Page and Plant did. But I think for Pink Floyd, it was more about the music and the sound and the atmosphere and the light show, which we do try and recreate without feeling the need to try and take on the persona of the members. I wear a black t-shirt and a pair of flared jeans as Roger Waters did, and I've probably got a similar haircut, but other than that, that's more coincidental rather than deliberately trying to look like them.
Do you sing the same parts as Roger Waters?
Yes, we did kind of swap it around, really, because we've all got slightly different voices, and I certainly cover all the Roger Waters stuff, and I do some of the Gilmore stuff as well, and our guitarist sort of swaps around, and our drummer has actually got a really interesting voice as well, so he picks up some of the vocals occasionally. So it's all about the sound, so whatever sounds best, we go with that rather than worrying, oh, well, Roger Waters didn't sing that and all that sort of thing. So, it's all about getting the sound as close as possible.
Okay. Which songs, I know you've gone about eras, but are there any particular songs that resonate with you more than others? I just know my own personal experience. There's certain songs that just really seem to work for you as a band that maybe the original artist, it might not have been in their normal set list, for example. Is there any particular songs that kind of stand out that might not be that well known, but you actually love playing them?
Good question. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we always try and sort of feature at least one track that isn't that well known. I mean, at the moment this year, we've tried doing a track from Obscured by Clouds. It's an album which we've never done, and lots of people always ask for it. Not that well known. So we're doing a couple of tracks on there, which is Burning Bridges and Mudmen, which was kind of joined the two together, which we're really enjoying. And, so far the audience have really appreciated it, even if they don't necessarily know the tracks. And there's been a few over the years that would perhaps say the same thing about, that it works for us live, and almost certainly Pink Floyd never did perform them live.
So you've done themed shows over the years.
Yes, with albums, particularly anniversaries. I mean, last year was the 40th anniversary of Dark Side of the Moon, so we were featuring the whole album. And also the year before, we were featuring a load of stuff from the film Live at Pompeii as well, and that went down surprisingly well. So, we do sort of theme it with regards to particular albums, but, it sort of changes as the years go on.
I love Live at Pompeii. It was probably the first thing I heard by Pink Floyd when I was a teenager.
Oh, really?
In the 70s. I saw that film on BBC, and it was, with the bubbling mud and everything. It really was evocative. And I watched it again recently, actually, on YouTube. But obviously some of those are not the most accessible period of Pink Floyd. I mean, Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, and obviously the songs were getting shorter and more concise.
Yeah.
But obviously Echoes, for example, I assume you did Echoes as part of that show, or some of Echoes.
We did,
yep. That's a very long, very slow piece. How did that go down well with a modern audience?
It went down incredibly well. We were really surprised because we'd made the decision to do a set from Live at Pompeii. We did about 40 minutes worth that we did all together at the start of the second half. We were a bit worried that it would alienate quite a lot of the audiences who perhaps only know from Dark Side of the Moon onwards. But it went down an absolute storm, and I think even if people didn't know it, I think we did it well, and we performed well, so people appreciated it even if they weren't that familiar with it. And it is great stuff. I mean, Echoes is a fantastic piece, and One of These Days, and Careful with Axe, Eugene, things like that. So, they're really good, and they do really work well live as well.
Okay. You're playing at the Radlett Centre in a few weeks. What kind of show are you going to be bringing to the venue?
Well, it's a bit of a compilation show, I guess, this year. We're sort of trying to cover all the eras from early Syd Barrett literally all the way through, right through to the division bell. So I think we're sort of covering all bases. We've worked out a set that works in quite a good order, sort of pairing a few things together, grouping tracks together. And so far, just started, we've only done 4 or 5 gigs so far, and it's been going down incredibly well.
Okay. And in terms of the light show, I assume you've got a really good light show and visuals?
We do indeed, yeah. That's one thing that we do try and do. I mean, it probably doesn't look exactly like a Pink Floyd show, certainly not that you would have seen in the 70s, or indeed the arena shows of the... So I think it should look pretty good in Radlett as well, moving lights and laser lights and things like that. So it does add a different element to the show.
Excellent. I think I read on your website that you used at local schools for some of the Wall songs. Have you any plans to do anything like that this time?
Not as yet, but you probably prompted me to try and sort it out, yeah. I mean, we do, again, a few years ago, we were featuring pretty much the whole album of The Wall, maybe not the whole album, but about 75 minutes worth of it. And for that, we used local theatre groups and school groups for obviously Another Brick in the Wall, and we sort of recreated the trial and things like that. So that kind of legacy is carried on, but we don't do it on every single show, I must admit.
It must be a huge amount of work to do something like Pink Floyd with all the visual stuff as well, and quite complicated arrangements. I assume you and the rest of the band have day jobs?
Well, we do bits and bobs. I mean, we don't have kind of 9-to-5 day jobs. Most of us do a bit of teaching and other sort of music projects other than when they come along, but this is all our priority. So, you know, we ask when we're not gigging, we're spending time sort of researching songs and sounds and everything, and sort of planning the next show as well.
Okay, you've been going for 10 to 20 years, is it now? How long have you been going for doing this?
Well, Pink Floyd as a band has been going over 20 years, and none of the original members are still in the band. I joined in 2001, and at that point, it was all still the original members. But over those years, people have retired, sadly passed on. So it's kind of an ever-evolving wheel of new musicians coming in, and every time someone new comes in, it kind of lifts the show and the standard up another level as well.
Maybe a very obvious question, but did you ever get to see the Pink Floyd?
I didn't, I'm afraid, no. I'm a little bit too young.
All right. I saw Roger Waters at Wembley a few months ago in the summer, it was, yeah. And, had a very big show doing The Wall, obviously. We were hoping that Dave Gilmour might turn up. He had turned up to a show a couple of years before and played on Country Nom, but unfortunately he didn't. I never saw the Pink Floyd 2. My wife saw them do The Wall, but I was not a fan at the time and didn't go to see them. Okay, so you've been going a long time. Obviously, you're very well known in the UK. What are your plans for the future? In particular, you're thinking of touring abroad or bringing anything interesting in terms of shows and ideas?
We've done bits and bobs abroad. We've never done any sort of proper tours abroad, mainly to do with the sort of the logistics of getting everything out there, because you know, we do need our own equipment. We, you know, all our guitar sounds are programmed into the amps, and the keyboard sounds programmed into the keyboards, and our light show and things like that. It would be a very expensive exercise to try and take it out of this country. I mean, we've not pursued it that much, to be perfectly honest, but on the few sort of times we've looked at it, it's just not really proved to be feasible. We do play out, where the last few years we've played out at a festival on the Greek island of Rhodes in a little town called Lindos, which has got a big Pink Floyd connection. Gilmour still owns a house there, and they used to spend a lot of time there in the 70s and 80s. So we sort of do that every year. But other than that, we try to stay in the UK. We, you know, we're all married and got families and things like that, so we don't really like to go too far away. So at least playing in somewhere like Radlett, you know, we can go home afterwards. So I mean, you know, it's sort of an open-ended show, though. Really, I mean, I think as long as people want to come and see it, we'll keep playing it. Next year is the 40th anniversary of Wish You Were Here, so no doubt we'll be featuring that album, and then soon it'll be the 50th anniversary of Pink Floyd as well, so we'll probably do something for that. So we'll just, you know, there's so much so much material there to choose from. I think even if we're going another 20 years, we won't be able to play it all.
Have you ever met, or have any of them come to a show or made any comments through social media or anything about Think Floyd?
No. we've never met anyone. There have been rumours that a couple of them have seen the show. I mean, a long time ago, someone swore that they'd seen Syd Barrett in the back, but I very much doubt that. I did read somewhere that Rick Wright had written somewhere that he thought that we were one of the better tribute bands out there, but nothing ever official. And again, you know, I think there are a lot of bands out there who kind of, you know, use various quotes and things like that as in order to back up how good they are. But I think for us, it's all about the music. And I think, you know, the majority of people who come to see the show absolutely love it and spread the word and come and see us again. So I think we kind of rely on word of mouth and people enjoying the show rather than needing to sort of dine out on the odd quote from the original members here and there.
Okay, great. It's been excellent, and I'm really looking forward to the show, and I'm sure that all the other people coming along are too. So thanks very much for that.